Hi there. Welcome to The Preventable, the podcast giving you a seat at the table with conversations about the intersection of alcohol, drugs, and mental health in everyday lives. Take a seat and join us.
Welcome to The Preventable. Just want to give a shout out to our sponsor, Hubbard Radio, for allowing us to use this space and make this happen. And we have some really great guests today, one of whom has joined us before and actually hit me up on LinkedIn and said, I think it's time for a part two. So I'm welcoming back Brandon. He is the VP of Safety for the Associated General Contractors. Welcome, sir.
Welcome. Thank you.
And you brought a new guest with us today.
Yes.
And this is Ricky, who is Vice President of Safety and Quality, very official, with Murphy Company, and that's a construction company, right?
Absolutely. Mechanical contractor.
Contractor. Is that St. Louis based? Missouri
based? Based in St. Louis. Okay. Our main offices are in St. Louis and Denver.
Oh, cool. Okay. Well, so you asked for it,
yeah.
Brandon. So let's do it.
Careful what you wish for.
I know, right? The last time we were here, or you were here, you were talking about some really cool initiatives that you all were rolling out. Could you kind of give us, like, just go backwards just a smidge and tell us some of the things you've been doing, but also, like, where it's going now?
Yeah, sure. No, that'd be great. So has it been a year?
It's been a year.
Wow.
Time flies when you're having fun, man.
Yeah, that's definition of fun here. We won't go there.
We are so cool.
So cool. So we've been just... You know, where we started at, this has been this initiative related to bringing awareness to mental health, suicide prevention, and substance misuse in the construction industry started probably 2018 for our association in the construction industry, and has just morphed from there, from conducting stand downs, holding trainings. We've developed a number of marketing materials to bring awareness to this crisis in our industry. Have developed some amazing relationships with academia, WashU. Recently, looking ahead, just developed a relationship and got this off the ground with Cornell University.
Ooh,
so really excited about where that's going to lead. Yeah, I know. And then working with some other entities, U-Turn Health, National Safety Council, our national parent organization, AGC of America, has actually a year ago gave us the green light to start a national task force on this, made up of industry partners across the country. So,
and I cannot wait to learn more about the task force. So let me press pause here and rewind a little bit. So for those of you who did not listen to Brandon's first episode or have been living under a rock, opioids. Well, let's go back way back. So my dad was a construction worker. Started as a, kind of a day laborer, worked his way up every day, 5 o'clock. Well, actually, probably 3 o'clock because they started early, cracked open some beers, hung around at the job site. Several of his friends really struggled with alcohol use disorder. We didn't talk about it. It wasn't discussed. I think I saw my dad cry one time, and that was when his sister died. The construction industry as a whole has been hit really hard by substance use and suicide. And
Absolutely.
It really was pushed into the forefront with the opioid crisis, right? Because a reliance on painkillers, because if you don't work, you don't get paid. So you're pushing through the pain. And coupled with sort of a mentality of we don't talk about it because we're dudes.
Ugh, tough guys.
Ugh, right, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like that just made a really bad situation even worse, right?
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
I really think a big part of it is kind of working backwards. The number that really stood out more than anything was the number of suicides that we saw in the construction industry. That was the number that just jumped off the page. Last year, we were right at 5,800 suicides in the construction industry.
Which is nuts.
It's crazy. If we look at that from a safety perspective, what we do for a living, you know, we spend so much time. I've spent the last 30 years, whether it's fall protection, excavations, trenching and shoring, struck by, all of the fatal four, if you will, in our industry. You know, we lose less than 1,000 workers a year in construction to a workplace incident. And the amount of effort and time we put in that. And we're losing 5 to 6 times that many people to suicide alone. So as we looked at that and we started diving into that number, saying why us, why suicide? I think that led us back down the road of how we got to those, the opioid issues, the environment that promotes alcoholism and some other addictions, to the level of depression, anxiety that we see throughout our industry. So it really was a case of the eye-opening number was where we're at with suicides and how we kind of work back of, you know, why us and how do we fix this?
And the stand downs that you mentioned, that's an opportunity where you're on an active job site and you basically, I've had the privilege of being at one.
Yeah.
You stop work, you give everybody donuts and you stop work and you talk about suicide and you talk about mental health and you talk about how basically it's like cool to reach out and ask for help. I mean, I had the chills when I was at that event, and you have more of those planned, right?
Yeah, it hasn't stopped. What's exciting about our stand downs is, and not just I say ours, Ricky and I both, we conduct a ton of them a year, but it used to just be isolated to September. Right. It was simply just suicide prevention awareness week and month in September. And that was it leading up to the World Health Organization's Awareness Day, the 10th. That has shifted, I would say, in the past year or so, where we're doing this throughout the year, like getting requests to come to job sites, organizations, meetings, conferences, and talk about this subject and what's going on, why us, and what can you do to take action and elevate the conversation. So it's not slowed down. And then with May is Mental Health Awareness Month.
That's right.
I'm booked up for the first week, which is also Safety Week. But the entire month I have stuff going on across the country where I'm going to be traveling, going to job sites, talking for 30 minutes to an hour, just as you explained, shutting down work and saying, hey, look, if you're struggling, get help. It's okay. You're not alone.
Right.
Right. And there's hope, trying to spread that message. So it's
what I like.
It's exciting.
Yeah. I mean, I on one hand, it's great that your calendar is full.
Yeah.
Right. And that you have that you're working on this task force and that you have really shifted your job, Ricky, to include mental health, not just physical health, right? Like that's awesome. And it also sucks, right? Yeah. Because you wish you didn't have to have all these stand down events. And you wish that you all, how much would you love to just focus on like wearing your hard hat? Like that would be so much easier, right? You can like make somebody do that.
You know, I can say it would be, but I can tell you, and all of us are in this boat. I've done this for 30 years and there's nothing I've ever done in construction that's been more rewarding than what we've done over these last 5 years.
Yep.
The impact that we've had on the industry, the impact that we've had locally, nationally. I can tell you, Brandon and I alone have been in probably 10 states in the last 2 months at conferences speaking on this subject. You know, 5 years ago, you couldn't have got this on a docket for a conference somewhere. Now we're the keynote speakers.
Whoa.
Where we go. And we're seeing our programs, seeing programs that were developed here in St. Louis by this group that are being used by contractors or around the country. Just our hope coin alone that you see. That hope chip has been repeated dozens of times now in different variations from different organizations around the country. And the stories are just endless on the successes that we've seen with that. So, yes, some part of you says, I didn't see this coming 5 years ago. And I always say, I know Boat was here on part one of this.
Yes.
You know, Bo was the first person to ask me that question, to walk into a room and go, hey, Ricky, are you guys doing anything on suicide prevention? And I'm like, what? You know, is that a problem?
That's
where I was at then. We just had not seen it. It had not, you know, there was nothing being done about that in our industry.
Mm-hmm.
It was there. We recognized the problem. This group in St. Louis, I think, was one of the first to really...
Yeah, St. Louis has really been a ground zero for attacking this problem, which I don't think a lot of people realize, but that's a really cool testament, I think, to the companies and the people we have, the leadership we have in St. Louis.
Absolutely.
So Bo from Alberici, is that correct? Okay. So he corners you and says, what are y'all doing about this? So then what happens? Were you like, oh, shit?
Yeah, you or know, one of the first questions we kind of asked ourselves, I think, I always say is that us? You know,
right.
We're safety professionals.
Right.
Is that HR's job? Is that owners? Is that the union hall? Who tackles this? At the end of the day, we looked at it and said, regardless who probably should be doing it, nobody's doing it.
Yeah.
So
if not us, then who?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we got really aggressive after that. Brandon and his team and this, our entire mental health group here in St. Louis that was formed, just started Washington University. So many people came together to start getting those first informational packets out. And
so you take this to your bosses. And what do your bosses say?
I think part of it was that you're going to go talk to a bunch of construction workers about their feelings. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's what we're going to do.
That's what we're going to do. So tell me a little bit more about Murphy. Like, I know you said you have offices in St. Louis and Denver. What is, like, how well received was it? How have you tackled it?
I kind of walk you down our journey on it a little bit, because I think, you know, we use this term stand down a lot. And in most instances, and in what we do in safety, that's kind of what we do. We have a stand down for fall protection and a stand down for excavations. And this week is this and this week is that. They're event based trainings. And we followed that path the first year. We kind of had that stand down where, like, every day we have a different subject we're going to talk about, and we had guests, and we went to these sites, and I was blown away. The very first site that I was on, one of our foremen running that job had been a part of an employee or had an employee under his care, if you will, that had taken his life. And he stood up really quickly in that meeting and shared his story. Not only his story of what happened in the event, but the pain and that he had been experiencing since then. He had a level of guilt. Maybe he should have done something, known something, said something. And he had no knowledge to be able to do that. I can tell you 5 years ago, I couldn't have told you where to go to get help if you asked me. So he was living with a little bit of guilt from that and had nobody to talk to. You know, another gentleman stepped up in the back who had lost a brother in the construction trades as well. And just the conversation was going to go 10 minutes and it went 30 minutes. People waiting to talk to you afterwards. And if you give a lot of safety talks, you don't get a lot of that.
Right.
So it
Let's
was
get to work.
Yeah, it was phenomenal to see. And for Murphy, I know I went back and I went back with my team and everybody was like, oh, it went great. We shared all of our stories from our sites. And it was like, well, what are we going to do next year? And I kind of stopped it right there. I'm like, we're not waiting until next year. This is too important. You know, one of the things we do at Murphy, we have what we call a life-saving commitments calendar, where each month we focus on really specific topics. So we kind of have our safety roadmap, if you will, mapped out for the year. And I told the group, I said, this is more important than anything else we do. So I want to add this to our life-saving commitments, as we have 12 of them. We think this is going to be number 13. And one of the guys asked me, well, what month are we putting it in? And I said, all of them, you know, we are going to normalize this conversation by making it event-based or you know, once a year or this month we're going to talk about it. That's great, and I'm glad that attention is there. But the issue is the stigma that surrounds it. The issue is that we're afraid to have that conversation. If you want to say we're big, tough construction people, whatever it is, those conversations aren't being had. People feel isolated. They feel alone. They're insecure to be able to express their feelings, to be able to know that. So if we normalize this conversation, which was where our thought was, let's make this a part of the conversation every week, every month, all year. It's front and center on all of our posters, everything that we have, our T-shirts that we wear in the field, have the ribbon proudly on the front with 988 on the back, other resources that are available to them. But we share stories. We encourage foremen and leaders to share stories, because we all have one.
Right.
All have multiple. We've all been through that state of depression, anxiety, where we've struggled. I know I've been there, and I was afraid to ask for help, whether I was embarrassed. I can think of one instance in my life, the darkest time I had, you know, the best friend in the world that I have, I talked to daily. And 2 months into this, I had never mentioned what I was going through with probably the closest person I have in this world. I still wasn't comfortable bringing it up. Maybe I was embarrassed at where I was at. So that was our thought, is let's normalize this conversation. Let's make sure that people are comfortable having it. And the more you talk about it in those settings, the more it becomes a normal part of the conversation, the more people share, and they're comfortable coming up and saying, I need help.
How many people are on your team to do this?
Our safety team, we have seven people on the safety team. They're phenomenal. They've all been through a whole lot of training. And
I was just, that's my next question. What, if I'm listening to this, I'm probably thinking to myself, like, no offense, but what if I am vulnerable with Ricky or with one of his team, then what do they do? How do I know that then that story is going to be cared for and taken, like, escalated if it needs to be? So what kinds of training do you and your staff get?
So we've been through, and Brandon and I can go through some of the available trainings that are out there. Mm-hmm. We've tried all of them.
Yeah.
If it's available, whether it's the QPR training,
which is the question, persuade, refer, right? That's suicide specific.
You know, trainings that we have through AGC, trainings we have through other mental health organizations, if they're available out there, we have looked at them to see how they fit into our organization. The biggest thing with us was probably that communication level with that comfort level with the employees in the field.
Totally.
Making sure that as we're having those conversations, they feel trusted, they feel valued.
Yep.
More than anything, their opinions or their thought processes are validated.
And that it's not going to impact their job.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Like, I'm only going to be vulnerable with my boss or my perception of my boss or my perception of my boss's, like, support team or whatever if I feel comfortable and I'm not feeling like I'm going to be penalized or looked at differently or, you know, if people are going to be, like, hovering over me or, you know, I mean, that's the whole kind of definition of really being, like, a recovery-friendly workplace or a workplace that is really mental health-friendly. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, the number one thing has to be the emotional safety of your staff to be able to share. And
another part of that is, you know, the biggest second part of this is what resources are available out there and assuring that they have them, that they know what they are. And many of those are quite anonymous. So the MAB programs for our union employees, they have member assist programs where they get a certain number of counseling sessions that are private. Then, you know, most of them never knew that resource even existed, let alone our national resources like 988 and some of the other things that are out there. So just sharing those, knowing that they have those, they're available. We may never know if they use them, and that's fine.
When you started doing this work, and Brandon, I'll bring you back into the conversation, do you find that many contractors or companies that they re-look at the EAP benefits they're offering? You know, because you might find out, like, you have a quote-unquote EAP program that's maybe not as robust as it could be, or maybe it sucks. I mean, at Prevent Ed, before we were Prevent Ed, when we were NCADA, we had a terrible EAP provider. And
isn't that amazing?
Yeah, and my predecessor came in and was kind of, he was, like, getting a feel for, you know, the different vendors we had, and he was asking some people, including myself, so how's the EAP? And I was like, terrible. I went once and I'll never go again. Like, it was the most off-putting situation ever. And so he's like, well, let's change that. You know, and not everybody loves our current mental health counselor, but we have the sessions provided. We make people well aware of it. Sometimes we, like, strongly encourage people to go. And I know there's a heck of a lot more we could be doing for our EAP. So did you all kind of take a hard look and say, like, we need to offer more or we need to switch or?
Yeah, I think we took a really hard look. You know, it's kind of funny. One of the first things that we did, and I know a couple other contractors here that fell into that same bucket of saying, oh, we have this EAP plan. Let's make sure all of our craft workers know about it. And then we find out that it doesn't cover our craft workers.
Oh, jeez.
Make that assumption and go, oh, what? It doesn't cover them? So we're learning ourselves on what does this do? What's available with it? How do you utilize it? Who can utilize it? Was important. After we realized that, then we're going to our looking again at the member assist programs. Mm-hmm. If you're a union contractor and going to each one of the individual crafts and union halls, has a different MAP program. So we went out and researched those and found out what's there, what's all the contact information, how do they utilize this?
Right.
And then to make sure that part of our process is sharing all that information with our workers. Hey, for your craft, for your local, here's what you have available. Here's the numbers. Here's the website. Again, just making sure that they understand the resources that are available.
Yeah, I would bet you see that a lot, Brandon.
I'll take a step back from on where you're at in the conversation. On a national level, for decades, we've been guilty as an industry of just check the box. Yeah, we've got an EAP. Of course we're doing something. We've got resources for our employees, no problem. Not having a clue what that process looks like when you call, the availability, what's actually really covered. And some of that's not just on the actual employers. I'm going to put some of it back on the EAP programs too. They have not done a stand up world class job of communicating and marketing what they have to offer, right? So
I think that's a fair assessment.
It is. And it just is what it is. Nationally and even locally, like Ricky just said, we're seeing companies reevaluate. That's one of the first things I ask companies to do if they're trying to get into this space and do something and take action for their employees to help them. Check your EAP program right out of the gate. What do you already have? What does your insurance healthcare provider offer? Are you a union contractor? What MAPs are available? Do you even know if your iron worker comes or your laborer comes and says, "Hey, I'm struggling."
Would you even know where to direct them?
Where do you direct them to, right? And we have seen, we know a number of colleagues of ours nationally that have basically fired their EAP have turned around and sought out better programs. So which is a win-win, right?
That's right.
It really is. It's unfortunate.
It raises the bar.
It does. It really does.
And not only check into it, but use it. You know, that's one of the things we encourage everybody. Don't just look at the sheet and see what it includes. Call the number. You know, call and utilize it yourself. What's
that
response time? How quickly did you get to somebody? You know, how was the service? If it's not good for you, then again, I know Brandon and I were just presenting out in Vegas a couple of weeks ago, and there were multiple contractors up front that said they had changed EAPs as they looked into this
process. In the past 6 months.
Wow. Yeah. You're making changes kind of from all sides. Talk to me about this task force.
Yeah,
you mentioned it earlier. Yeah. It sounds pretty cool.
It's really cool. It's a blessing for me to be involved in. So I can't talk about it without giving name dropping my co-chair. So Mandy Keim, she is the
safety.
That's right. She is the safety director. Hopefully I got her title correctly. Out of Washington State in Seattle. She is a co-chair. Her and I are leading this effort. So we
is she also at AGC?
Yeah.
All right. So this is the
AGC
national
of Washington.
I see.
Yep, Washington State. Let me rephrase that.
Okay.
So we cornered very kindly.
I bet this was a real good story off air.
Yeah, our safety folks out of DC at our parent organization, AGC of America, and just said, hey, you know, we've got a committee, right? For everything, except for this,
mental health,
suicide, substance misuse. And they said, go ahead. We were kind of shocked standing there like, oh, okay. So we've ran with
it. Be careful what you ask for. You just might get
doubt.
It, right?
However, we launched it we've got roughly a little over 15 members of the actual task force itself. Like I said, Ricky's one of them. We have multiple folks, representation across the country in regards to AGC chapters. And then we also have, obviously, academia. So Brad Evanhoff from WashU, we've included U-Turn Health. And then also a friend and mentor as an advisor to all of us in the team, or task force, I'm sorry, is Cal Beyer with Holmes Murphy Company.
Yes.
So if you're in this space, you've heard the name, you've probably seen him speak at some point and have just been in awe of his knowledge and heart. So it's been great. We, in a very short period of time, have been able to bring together some of the greatest minds. We're offering a free, open to anyone in the industry or anyone, even outside of the construction industry. It doesn't matter. Opportunity to come to a forum. So once a quarter. We actually just had one today. Earlier today, we had our second quarter. Yeah, time's flying, right? So our next one is going to be in July. It's actually a hybrid, going to be in person. It'll be at our safety and health conference in Nashville.
Okay.
So looking forward to that. That's going to be a good time and a great opportunity. But we're averaging over 100 plus, 150 people in some cases attending this forum.
And do you have a presenter or is it to try to, and is the idea behind the task force to create some continuity across?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So our entire mission is, I'll pull it up here so I don't get this incorrect here, right? We're really wanting to be like a clearinghouse, if you will, for the industry.
Mm-hmm.
Identify those best practices, what's working, and then also identify what's not, or where are our holes, our gaps, in what's being provided or what is needed. There is no one size fits all for what we're trying to accomplish at all. It's very niche. It's very company, trade, specific, regional.
Yeah.
There's so many variables, cultural, just very a number of different aspects that we have to take into consideration. So we're really trying to be that, you know, engage with the industry, provide best practices and guidance and just connect.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been remarkable this past year, what we've been able to accomplish with that. We're working on some new things as far as some new marketing items to bring awareness and just kind of centralize or some consistency in the messaging and language that's being used.
Ah, that's a great idea.
Yeah. Big picture goals.
I was just going to ask. Yeah. Do you want me to be quiet and you can just host this podcast?
No. Yeah.
Right. You're like, yes, give me that mic.
Give me this mic. You know, big picture, I'd love to see us partner with some academia folks and so research-based, you know, official, like, training specific to the industry. Really need... And there's some health, there's some mental health assessment form programs out there, but really would like to see a mental health, a solid mental health assessment program for the industry, for construction. How do you determine, you know, if you just say, here's an EAP, right? Or, hey, we're going to start promoting, you know, no alcohol on our job sites or you know, alcohol-free events and things like that. Well, that's only one...
Sands bar.
Yeah, that's only that's only one demographic.
Right, exactly.
That's only one component of your entire makeup of your organization and the industry. When you may have another 30% of your employees that have a substance issue or a depression issue. So we and the variables related to what's causing some of these issues in construction run the gamut. So we really need a solid construction-focused mental health assessment would be something else. We're looking at expanding representation. We're having some conversations around developing ambassadors or champions. We really don't know what the name is.
Mm-hmm.
But that go-between between the task force and a regional rep that we can feed info to both directions, right? So we're in the know and keeping them up to date. And then their community, their regionals representation to share, that information.
Well, and I know this isn't the point, but I can imagine that this would help build capacity in your workforce.
Oh, absolutely.
Because if especially younger generations are more hip and keen to, like, how is my employer, like, making sure that I'm okay?
Yeah.
And what are some additional perks that I can take advantage of or that my employer is offering to me so that they know that I'm more than just a cog in a machine?
Yep.
So I could imagine that paying such close attention to mental health, offering a more robust EAP program, being part of sort of this national movement, that has to be pretty attractive for new potential apprentices or whatever is the word.
Yeah, I think it's great on both sides of the coin, really. On the one side, you do have that appreciation from the employee. The fact that we're having stand-downs or talks or conversations that are non-work related.
Yeah.
And we're going in and spending 15 minutes.
I mean, they are, but they
minutes,
aren't, but yeah, it seems like they're not.
We're spending 15 to 30 minutes and we're having a conversation
about mental health,
about mental well-being.
That's a win.
About how you're doing. That value to the employee, that validates their feelings, them as an employee. What we get back from that's incredible. And the other part of it is, as you get into the larger scale of this and you start to really offer help to where people are getting the assistance they need, whether that's from an addiction, whether that's from depression, whatever it is, those dollars back from a company standpoint,
right.
You know, they estimate somewhere in the 4 to 5 to 1 dollar return for every dollar you put into a program like this.
You'll all see about prevention.
And so you'll see some of that there. But too, just looking at the production.
That, the productivity.
You know,
when we
look at the amount of people out there, not just those that have attempted suicide or have gone down that route, but the number of people at our job sites every day that are still suffering, that are suffering from that level of anxiety, from depression. And if we ever do some of the studies that when you get a little deeper into how your mind functions and how well you're focused on the task, what you're doing for the day, when your mind's in that area. So those people do get help and get better. It drives a better workforce, a safer workforce, a more productive workforce. It works across the board.
Yeah. And it'll have an impact on retention, too.
1,000,000%.
Yeah. Which is a huge struggle right now. I don't know. I read something the other day. It was like, what, 40-50% workforce shortage in our industry. Could be a little higher. And that's probably underreported. I don't know of any.
And it's every industry.
Oh, absolutely. I don't know of any construction company. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Ricky. That's fully staffed. Or they're overflowing with people.
I don't know any company that is fully staffed.
No, I don't either.
Yeah, you ask any company out there, what's your largest challenge right now? It's resource, staffing. Labor, staffing, resources.
That's it.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
That's it.
It's
and
a
cost
huge
of materials. All yeah. I mean, I'm sure yeah. you can speak. I mean, our cost yeah. of material, our cost of doing business has gone up significantly. There's this amazing work that's being done in the United States. Obviously, we are not the only country that faces this. So
no.
do you all are...
We are well behind the rest of the world in
oh,
this.
That's an really? Understatement.
And I mean well
Really? I was going to think it was yeah. the other way around, where you're like jet setting off to Zurich or whatever to like teach them their ways.
I would love to
ways.
Say we're leading the way, but
what?
In no way. Yeah. Just look at the work in
Australia. You've blown my mind right now. Okay.
Australia as an example. Australia has a program called MATES. That is phenomenal. We have met the creator of MATES and spent some time with him. Incredible program. And it goes back, what, 15 years?
Yeah.
So the work throughout Europe, 20. Australia, they are so far out in front of this.
Wow.
The fact that it, you know, that we say we really jumped on board 5 years ago is embarrassing somewhat to the industry.
Huh.
But we're here now. And we're making
yeah.
A,
oh, yeah.
Making
so, and I'm sorry. I would have thought it would have been yeah. the opposite. I was not trying to like be gotcha journalism or anything, but
no,
that's
we are
really...
quite behind the rest of the world.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. They're doing amazing things. Not only did we meet Jorgensen from Australia, I've recently made connections and started a relationship with Carl Simons from the UK. So mm-hmm. he has been the direct report to Parliament and the Queen. Back then, when she, you know, as he said, God rest her soul, but that was his job, was to report to her and head up their country's mental health programs
okay.
and whatnot.
So this is my question. So does the task force give briefings to the labor secretary or something? Is that on the horizon? How can we make this happen?
Yeah,
can
so
they join the task force?
We have a great relationship with Federal OSHA.
Yeah. Okay.
So the top leaders there, Assistant Secretary Doug Parker.
Okay.
Great gentleman. He was actually just, we invited him out to Kansas City a couple of weeks ago to speak at the Construction Working Minds Summit.
Mm, cool.
Which is a suicide prevention summit for construction. He was kind of our opening keynote on the first day. So that was great. We have a close relationship with them. Our colleagues at AGC of America in Washington speak with OSHA pretty regularly. We have a great relationship locally with them in Region 7, Kansas City and St. Louis. I know you do as well out in Denver and Colorado. They are, where OSHA's at right now, they're not looking. They've made it very clear they're not looking for a standard. They're not looking for a regulation in regards to this. They're wanting to ensure that all workers in America, you know, are mentally healthy.
Yeah.
Right? They're just using their voice as OSHA, if you will.
Sure.
To get behind the messaging and the marketing. They're partnering with us. They've actually, since about a year or so ago, started training their own people and providing them resources, something they had not done.
I get it.
Before.
Yep.
So they're totally on board. We've had some conversations about various OSHA required training, like OSHA 10 and OSHA 30, and there being a mental health piece to that. They have recently shared that they're not able to go down that road just yet. But it's always a but.
Right.
If an organization that's providing that training wanted to keep people around for an extra hour or two and dive into this and provide a training on the topic, great. And a lot of apprenticeship programs, a lot of unions, a lot of companies are already doing this.
Mm-hmm.
They've started this past year roughly talking about mental health and suicide at that early stage of an apprenticeship program
yeah.
or employment to bring awareness.
That's awesome.
So it's, and like Ricky said, 5 years ago, go back three, it was a struggle to get individuals like ourselves on a stage or in front of anyone, even with a microphone, on a job site and talk about the subject. And now it's you see where it's at. It's just growing.
I can't.
And
even
it's,
in the last year,
yeah,
the growth.
It's unreal.
It's pretty mind-blowing.
Yeah. It's exciting.
And OSHA has taken a little stronger stance in a few areas here. They do have a dedicated website to mental health, specifically to construction mental health, with great resources that are phenomenal, many of them that we help kind of help drive. There's informational packets that are out there. OSHA's got kind of their own five-step process for construction mental health. So you'll see those posters at a lot of job sites. So
they are
on board
too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They're not all the way there yet, but they are on board. They've got
a
great partner.
It'd be cool if the 988 number was on those big posters that you have to have. Is it already? Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't know if it's on.
It is.
I don't think originally it was on OSHA's posters. It may be today.
Yeah. Right.
It may have been updated as 988.
Yeah. Maybe like the next one or whatever as 988 rolls out.
The next variation of it.
That's great that they are supportive, and I understand, right? Like that they don't. Once you mandate something, it becomes one more box to check.
Right.
Right. Whereas this is really contractor led, employee led, to the extent that you all are employees and you're like, something needs to change, like this needs to get better.
And how do you actually mandate this?
I
spoke at NIH last fall.
Ooh, look at you, name dropper.
I was the dumb guy in the room, trust me. It was a really surreal experience, but really awesome. And that was one of the questions I got. Was what is specifically, Brandon, what is your opinion? What should the government do? And I was like, nothing.
Yeah, right.
We don't want you to do anything. We don't need a regulation for this, you know. But you can support, you know, help fund.
Yeah, I was going to say, it'd be nice if there was a fiscal note attached.
Correct.
To this.
Right. No doubt. Because at the end
even
of the day,
the trainers,
it does come
like
down
the embedded
to that.
Trainers, you know, to be. I mean, that's capacity. That's staff.
Yeah. Yeah, and I, like I said, I don't want to see OSHA come up with a reg or a standard for this. I'm very thankful and appreciative of the relationship we have with their leadership locally and nationally, and then just them being supportive and actually taking action. And they're taking it serious, sitting in a private meeting with their top three leadership and sharing my personal story, listening to them, and it touched each one of them. And then to listen to them share stories and how this has impacted their life.
Yeah.
It's, you know, there is no one that is immune to this crisis, whether it's in our industry in construction or anything else. We're all being touched by it, and we've got to take action. So one of the other things I want to mention on this task force team is we're really proud of, we have created a PSA videos. So we started out with three. We just launched a fourth one today, where everyday people that look like all of us, you know, and come from the industry, have a story and decided to share it. And it's a message of hope that highlights their personal struggle and how they, what they went through and how they got help and the impacts on their life and their family. And then here they are today. And it has been remarkable, the outpouring of support and feedback we received from those.
If you give us the link, we can kind of put
in the
bio thing, whatever it's called, you know. But if you give us the link, we can make sure to direct people to that. And you said that you have a dedicated website to this now?
Yeah, so AGC,
okay, what's that?
Yeah, so AGC of America has a website directly for this. So it's just AGC of America Mental Health and Suicide Prevention. And that's where our task force, all our task force members are housed or listed. Our PSA video series is there.
And what's the website like? How do I find it?
It's AGC
of
America Mental Health.
AGC, okay.
Yeah, if you just Google that, that's what it's going to come up to.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
You requested a part two. Did we get to everything?
Yeah. I mean, it's been great. It's exciting what we're doing.
That's awesome.
The messaging, the what I'll leave with or end with on my end is continue to take action. Evaluate what you already have available for resources and just start talking about it. Normalize the conversation. Mm-hmm. But just talking about it's not enough. Resources, training, and going from there. So the future looks bright.
And we always stress, it is not a, you know, this is not a one conversation topic.
Isn't that
And it's
true?
Not a once a year topic. It's an everyday topic. Your program has to believe this, encompass this. You have to, every part of your organization has to take an employee's mental health into account. The other thing I would add, just some of the things that we're doing, is he said the future is bright. You know, with some studies that Washington University is doing right now that we're helping participate in, Colorado University, the Construction Safety Research Alliance is doing a major research project right now on suicide in the construction industry. They are probably the top research center in America for this type of work. So I'm very excited about that new program. I know some folks on that team. So can't wait to see what they come up with. Locally, we're seeing this just across the board. Every contractor is doing something in this space right now. Our local union halls have been phenomenal. I know I just did a training last week for the third time in a row for the Pipe Fitters Hall, where they're foreman training classes. So the last night of their foreman training is 3 hours dedicated to mental health and suicide prevention. These are going to be leaders out in the field in the craft. We've done things with the Painters and Drywallers mm-hmm. Association. If you're an organization in the St. Louis region or really anywhere and you want somebody to speak on this topic, contact us. One of us will be there. We have never turned down an event yet. So
no.
If we can get there schedule-wise, we will be there. The more people we can get this message to, the better.
Maybe yeah. When the results of that Colorado study come out, we could have a part three.
Oh, right. Absolutely.
And you will let us know if PreventEd can help with any trainings, any support.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ricky, Brandon, thank you so much for being here. Really appreciate you. Door is always open. Next
appreciate
time you want
it.
To come, just hit me up on LinkedIn. Okay.
Yeah,
All right. If you like what you heard, please consider rating, reviewing, and subscribing to The Preventable. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us at The Preventable, brought to you ad-free by PreventEd. PreventEd works to reduce or prevent the harms of alcohol and other drug use through education, intervention, and advocacy. Please visit their website at PreventEd.org. Like what you heard? Rate, review, and subscribe to stay up to date with what we are serving on The Preventable.